Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Israel, family, and listening audience. I wish you all a good Shabbat. This is another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yarael, of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. And if you can hear me, send me a shout out. Let me know that you can hear me and coming in loud and clear. The Father has a really interesting message for us this evening. And like always, get all your study materials together. Hopefully you already got them together. Your notepads, your pens, your pencils, your iPads, your Bible, highlighters, all those good things that you need for a good study. I want to start off with an opening prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together at this moment to give you praise and give you honor on your Shabbat day. We thank thee for protecting us throughout the course of the week. We thank you for the lessons and the blessings that you've given us throughout the course of the week. But ultimately, we thank thee for allowing us to have a relationship with Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. And we ask of thee, O Father, to continue to open our minds to understand and know Yahushua and the things that he has done for us on an individual basis and collectively. We thank thee, Father, for the comfort that you've given us throughout the course of the week. We thank thee for the strength that you've given us throughout the course of the week. We thank you for all the resources that you've allowed us to have throughout the course of the week. And all these things are possible through Yahushua, who stands up for us and defends us. We thank thee, Father, for our friends and family who assist us in learning of you and thy Son. Father, we thank thee. In the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, and soon coming King. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shalom once again, Israel, family and listening audience. We're going to continue as the, this 6 weeks of lessons. Just the Father has just brought me to an understanding and dealing with cleaning up the house and dealing with the different strongholds. But as we've heard from different other mores, they came from a different perspective. And the Father has opened my eyes to another perspective of cleaning up the house and getting rid of those strongholds. The way he's, you know, leading me is dealing with the plagues that was in Egypt and trying to bring them to modern day time, or just reiterating or bringing them back up so that we, in this day and time, can see whether or not we're being, you know, these plagues of Egypt are plaguing us now. Because we all know that we've, as the scriptures say, all have fallen short of the glory of the Most High. But as we strive and protect the word of Yah and follow the Lamb wherever he shall go, follow Yahushua, travel through the word, listen to the prophets, and apply these principles to our life. But we also have to clean up our minds so that we can be that right sacrifice for him. As we scriptures say, we die daily, you know, because each day we're striving to become that perfect sacrifice, which is Yahushua. Because as Yahushua lives in us, we become that perfect sacrifice. But we have to put in work. We have to put in work. And one of the things that we talked about last week was, in our minds, we have to get rid of some of them strongholds. We have to get rid of some of this baggage that causes us to not be a good servant. In our minds, we may be thinking that we're a good servant, but overall, when we compare ourselves to the scriptures, we realize that we still need some work. We still need to humble ourselves. We still have to obey his voice. Because that's one of the things that he's always said throughout the scriptures. Listen to my voice. And we have to get rid of the clutter in order to hear his voice. And some of that clutter that we have is our own voice that's causing us not to hear him, because we hear ourselves. So this particular lesson, it is called, what is the meaning of the blood and the water? Because when we deal with the blood and the water and we go back to Egypt, one of the things, or the first plague that was demonstrated, was water turning into blood. And if we look at the God in which the Most High dealt with during that particular time, was the God of the Nile, or the God of the water. And the people worshiped that God because they believed that that God was bringing them resources to their cities, allowing them to have food, allowing them to prosper. And sometimes we as individuals, we believe that we are the sole source of our resources. But the resources that we have belong to the Most High, and he grants them to us. He gives them to us. And sometimes we have to realize where our bread comes from, where our resources come from, because he is the one who gives us the power to get up in the morning, to go to these jobs, gives us the health and the strength to go to these different places and become a servant to the man, or to another authority. But at the same time, we're supposed to be a servant to him and listen to his voice. So we're going to go back to the title again, Blood in the Water. And in thinking about that, one of the things that came to my mind was, you know, the old adage, blood is thicker than water. And you know, the Father had my mind just turning and turning and turning. And then he led me to this particular scripture. And it reads, it's John chapter 19, verse 34 and 35. And it reads, and immediately blood and water came out. He who has seen, verse 35, he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, that you may believe. Now, this scripture is in reference to, you know, Yahushua when he was being, you know, when he gave up the ghost. And when he gave up the ghost, you know, one of the soldiers was just making sure that he was dead. And so when that happened, he poked him in his side with his spear, and blood and water came out. And so from here, the Father led me to this particular scripture, because we have to understand, Yahushua, because we constantly, you know, the scriptures say, learn of me, learn of me. So this is just another aspect of Yahushua that we have to learn. And this is just a meaning, you know, how the Father led me. This is not exhausted to the point that this is it. No, this is just the way the Father led me in regards to the blood and the water. So we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, 10 and 11. And this translation that I'm reading from is very interesting. It's the Aramaic Bible in plain English. So this is how it reads. That in the name of Yahushua, every knee shall bow, which is in heaven and in earth and which is under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Yahushua, the Messiah, is Yahweh Elohim, to the glory of Yah. So this is an interesting translation. But one of the things we have to understand is the importance of knowing who Yahushua is and understanding the things that Yahushua has done for humanity. So now we're going to go to get into some different scriptures that refer to the blood and the water. And hopefully you'll come to understand some things in regards to blood and water. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 4. In this narrative, the word blood is, this is one of, we're going to get to a scripture where blood is the first time it's actually used in the scriptures. And it reads, verse 3, as time passed, it happened that Cain brought an offering to Yahweh from the fruit of the ground. Abel also brought some of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat and its fat. Yahweh respected Abel and his offering, but he didn't respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry. We're going to stop right here at this word angry. And that is 2734 in your Hebrew lexicon or Hebrew concordance. And it means to burn. It is the word kara. Kara. To burn, be kindled with anger, be displeased, grieved, be waxed hot. These are some of the definitions for that. And it comes from 2787, which is kara, which means similar, to burn, figuratively to show or incite passion. So we could say that he got in his feelings in regards to his offering not being accepted. We're going to continue to start again in verse 5. It said, but he didn't respect Cain in his offering. Cain was very angry, and the expression on his face fell. Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? why has the expression of your face fallen? If you do well, will it not be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin crouches at the door. So we're going to go here to the term sin, and that's 2403. And that is kata'a. Kata'a. And that's sin. And it comes from kata, which is, I'm going to finish reading the definition for kata'a. Kata'a. An offense. Sometimes habitual sinfulness. Occasion. Offender. Punishment. Sinner. Will sin. But it comes from kata, which means to miss, go wrong, bear the blame, commit a sin by fault. So one of the things that we have to be mindful is that when his anger was kindled or his feelings got hurt, that sin crouches at the door. That missing the mark is waiting for you. And it's at the door. Like we talked about last week, the doors or the entry points of your mind. So what is happening? Missing the mark is waiting to enter into your home. Remember last week when we was talking about how you clean up your house and you get rid of those evil spirits and things? But if you don't clean up, if you don't add anything to the house or bring that word into your house to help you defend your house, then what happens? Those homeless spirits come back to that home and occupy it, but then they bring friends. So what we have to do, as we learned last week, is utilize that word. And one of the things that we learned last week was when Yahushua was tempted in the wilderness by the adversary, by Satan, he utilized that word. So we too can use that word also when sin crouches at that door. But one of the things we have to go back a couple of scriptures up, but Yahweh was actually talking to Cain, and he was, he was trying to convince him or let him know that, hey, if you do well, you will be respected also. Read verse 7 again. And it says, if you do well, will it not be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin crouches at the door. It desires for you, but you are ruler over it. See, understanding that we are the rulers over sin. But if we give in to sin, then we allow sin to be that authority over us. And once it come in, it's going to do everything in its power to maintain that authority over you. But we've learned last week by the example of Yahushua that when you stand on that word and utilize that word for your defense, then you too can overcome the sin that you have allowed to come in to your home. But you have to put forth that effort to get rid of it. You have to acknowledge that you have let it in. And sometimes we don't acknowledge the fact that we let something in. Verse 8. Then it reads, Cain said to Abel, his brother, let's go into the field. And it happened when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Yahweh said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? See, Yahweh understood. Yahweh knew where Cain was. Where Abel was. Yahweh also knew what Cain had done. But this is just another example of humanity or man not acknowledging the wrong doing that he has done. And he put it out there, am I my brother's keeper? Yahweh said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. See, the Yahweh is asking Cain to be honest with him in regards to what he has done with his brother or to his brother. But Cain never took the responsibility for what he has done. So we're going to go to the word blood in this particular scripture, and it's 18:18. And it is blood, dam, and it's blood as that which, when shed, causes death of a man or an animal. So we're going to stop there. It has other meanings, but we're going to just stop there because, you know, in this particular context, it is talking about how he shed his brother's blood. And we also know that, as it says, life is in the blood. Life is that source of our physical life. But we also know that we also have a spiritual life also. And that's one of the things that we will learn, or we've learned over the years in regards to water symbolizes that spirit. So from here, we're going to go to James chapter 4, verse 7. And I believe we read this scripture last week, but I'm going to read it again because we have to be mindful of how we can overcome these strongholds. We can overcome these things that we have within ourselves that causes us to go contrary to the word of the Most High. James chapter 4, verse 7, and it reads, be subject therefore to Yahushua, but resist will flee from you. So understanding that if we believe in Yahushua and we stand on Yahushua, then the devil will resist us. Why? Because we have seen in the example of the scriptures where the devil fled from Yahushua, and we standing in his name. We standing in his stead because we know that Yahushua has already defeated him. So now we're going to go to another connotation in regards to going back to this term anger. See, because blood was spilled in the beginning because of anger. An innocent man was slain all because he was doing right. He was doing good. He did good by Yahweh. Now we're going to go to Luke chapter 23, verse 13. 13 to 21. And it reads, Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, you brought this man to me as one who perverts the people. And see, I have examined him before you and found no basis for a charge against him. Against this man concerning those things of which you accused him. Neither has Herod, for I sent you to him. And see, nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Now he had to release one prisoner to them at the feast. But they all cried out together, saying, away with this man. Release to us Barabbas, one who was thrown into prison for a certain revolt in the city and for murder. Then Pilate spoke to them again to release Yahushua. But they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify, crucify him. So from here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. verse 21 and 22. And it reads, "You have heard that it was said to the ancient ones, you should not murder. Whoever shall murder shall be in danger of the judgment. But I tell you that everyone who is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of the fire of Gehenna." So we're going to go back to verse 22. 3710 in your Greek lexicon. And this definition, I'm going to read from the Helps Word Study. And it's the word is ogizo, and it means to be angry, as expressing a fixed anger, settled opposition, positive when inspired by the Mighty One, and always negative when arising from the flesh, sinful, unnecessary anger, focused on punishing the offender rather than the moral content of the offense. And it comes from 3709 as orgi. And its definition is teem, swell up to constitutionally, properly, settled anger, rise up from an ongoing or fixed opposition. So this anger that they had toward, and this is, you know, this is the leaders of the congregation, this is the leaders of Israel, this is the people of Israel. They had a fixed anger against Yahushua, and they had him crucified. Why? Because he was doing good things. He was opening the eyes of the blind. He was healing the sick. He was educating the people. But yet the people and leaders wanted him dead. And as we see Pilate earlier, he had the opportunity to save him. But he chose not to save him. And he punished him after saying that he wasn't guilty of anything, but he still punished him. He punished an innocent man for nothing. And the people wanted him dead. Father connected these two stories together because we have innocent blood being shed out of anger. Out of anger. For no reason at all. All because of their own selfish desires that they had going on within themselves. Their own sinful nature. From here, we're going to go to Mark chapter 7, verse 6 through 9. And it reads, "He answered them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. For you set aside the commandments of Yah and hold tightly to the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and you do many other things." He said to them, "Full well do you reject the commandments of Yah, that you may keep your traditions." See, and that's one of the things that they were doing, and that's one of the reasons why they killed him. See, he talked about this well before they crucified him. He was telling these people what they were going to do. Why? Because they was caught up in their fixed traditions, and because what he was teaching was the law of the Most High. He was teaching the laws of Yahweh. He was teaching the ways. He was telling them about himself. And see, because they didn't acknowledge who he was, they didn't acknowledge who Moses was teaching about, and who Abraham, and who gave the promise to Abraham, and that was passed down to Isaac and was passed down to Jacob. That's one of the reasons why it was easy for them at that time to crucify him, because they did not know who he was. They did not acknowledge who he was. They did not acknowledge what the prophets was teaching them. One of the scriptures that we tend to say over and over again, believe in Yahweh, you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. Why are you going to prosper? Because the prophets are the one who teach you. They house that seed. Now, we have come to understand what that seed is. That seed is Yahushua that came down in the form of a man and dwelled amongst us. See, this is what the prophets have been talking about before he came on the scene, talking about how he was going to come down and dwell with us. But men did not want to believe that. They did not want to believe what the prophets said. So from here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 7, verse 19 to 21. And it reads, Yahweh said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your rod and stretch it out, stretch your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the rivers, over their streams and over their pools, and over their ponds of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. Moses and Aaron did so, and Yahweh commanded. And he lifted up the rod, and he struck the waters that were in the rivers, in the river, and in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants. And all the water that were in the rivers turned to blood. So now we're going to go to the term water. That is 43:25. And that is Ma'im. That is Ma'im. And it means water. But, you know, we also understand the connotation of water is that spirit. Because we know the spirit is what fills us. That spirit that the Father sends us to Yahushua is what changes us. And also we know that water takes on the shape of the vessel in which it is in. And then we also learned, you know, earlier in regards to blood, blood is that life source. So as we talked about earlier in the beginning, when Moses did this, see, the Egyptians felt as though that their God, their source of life, was providing these things for them. But Yahweh used Moses to turn that water into blood. Everything in the rivers died. Because blood does not give. How can I say this? Blood is the life source inside a man. But when that life source comes out, the man dies. So the life that was in the waters, when it turned to blood, it killed those fish and things of the water. because life, blood does not sustain life outside the body. So from here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 24, verse 3, and then I'm going to read 6 through 8. And it reads, Moses came and told the people all the words of Yahweh, and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yahweh has spoken will we do. Moses took half of the blood and he put it in a basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. He took the books, he took the book of the covenant and read it in their hearing of the people, and they said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do and be obedient. Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people and said, look, this is the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you concerning all these words. So now we're looking at blood from another connotation. Blood was used to seal a covenant. So Yahweh sealed a covenant with the people with blood. We will do. We will obey your voice. And they spoke in one voice. So from here, we're going to go to Exodus 14, verse 13, and then I'm going to read verse 21 and 22. And it reads, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again. Yahweh will fight for you, and you shall be still. He out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them, and on the right hand and on the left. So we're going to stop here for a minute. And what has just happened? A sacrifice was made for Israel. That blood was spread on them because they said that it would do something. And then he took them through the water, which was like a form of baptism, just like what we do in this modern day time. When we come to the realization that Yahushua is our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, and he can save us from our sins, we acknowledge that first in our minds and in our spirit. We make that sacrifice first because that blood is in us. And then what do we do? We take that baptism. We go through that water. We emerged in the water. And see, and that's what happened with them. Symbolic of them going from one state as in slavery, in the land of Egypt, going across dry land through the water into the promised land, which was on the other side. Understanding that that blood and that water helps us go from one reality to the next. But the only way we can get to that reality is by Yahushua. Because if we pay attention to the first scripture that was read, how through his death, that blood and that water came out his side. That sacrifice and then that spiritual cleansing with that water. just like in the example that we went through last week, even though he was without sin, he still went through the baptism. And when he finished the baptism, he went in the wilderness, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Well, he fasted for 40 days. It didn't stress nights, but it said he fasted for 40 days. And then he was tested or tempted by the adversary and came out victorious. Because at the end, where the adversary came to him, the adversary ended up leaving him also because he realized that he was defeated. But that didn't stop him, because what is he doing now? He's dealing with his children, which is us. So now we're going to go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And it reads, "Behold, I stand at the door, and I shall knock. If a man listens to my voice and will open the door, I also shall come in, and I shall have supper with him, and he with me." I went here. In comparison to in the beginning when we deal with Cain and Abel, where sin is crouching at the door. He's waiting for an opportunity for that door to open so he can sneak in. But Yahushua said, "I come and I knock at the door." He's knocking at the door because he wants to come in. He wants to sup with us. He wants us to have the ability to overthrow the adversary. He wants us to be able to have the ability to overthrow our wicked thoughts. That's why he comes and he knocks on the door. Some people he come and he bang on the door. Sometimes people he knocks generally just casually. Some people he knocks really lightly. But however, he's coming and he's knocking on the door. See, he's coming to your doorways and he's knocking. See, sometimes we have to clear our minds. We have to clean it up so that we can get to that door and allow him to come in. Get rid of that clutter, so that we can get to those entry points. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And it reads, "Now the birth of Yahushua was like this. For after his mother, Miriam, was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found pregnant by the Holy Spirit." Luke chapter 2, verse 7. "She gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in baby clothes and laid him on the bed of hay, because there was no room for them in the inn." So this is just actually talking about Yahushua coming into this world. As we talked earlier, you know, in different studies, we've come to understand that seed came down from Yahweh Elohim and dwelled on the earth. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And it reads, "Yahushua, when he was baptized, went up directly from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. He saw the Spirit of Yah descending as a dove and coming on him. Behold, a voice out of the heavens said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. From here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 23. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. And it reads, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of Yah has been revealed, being testified by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of Yah through the faith in Yahushua to all and on all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yah." See, going back to those prophets, going back to the law. See, Yahweh Elohim wrote those laws that the Father gave him on stone, wrote them down so people can read them. Then later he wrote those same laws on our hearts, and he said that he will cause us to do them. But we have to have faith in Yahushua. See, because Yahushua did those things. He is our example. And he will cause us. Why? Because he will send that spirit to us to open those laws and statutes and judgments up for us that are already in us and cause us to be like him, obedient to that voice. See, he said he didn't do nothing unless the Father told him. And what are we doing? We're not doing nothing unless the Father tell us. The Father who begot us through that Spirit, Yahushua. Acknowledging Yahushua for what he has done. See, he created us. He created us. That's why he loves us so much. Humanity, everybody. He wants everybody to have an opportunity to know who he is. And he has chosen Israel to be that light to those that are in darkness. We're going to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 19 and 20. And it reads, "He took bread and gave thanks. He broke and he gave to them and said, 'This is my body, which shall be given for the sake of your persons. You shall be doing this to commemorate me.' And thus also concerning the cup is the new covenant in my blood, which shall be shed in your stead." See, a covenant was made with us through Yahushua's blood, that sacrifice for us, humanity. But do we believe in that sacrifice? Do we believe that blood that was shed for us? He gave up his life for us. Like there's a scripture that say, we become a living sacrifice. We live, but we sacrifice our way of living to show him. Show that the word is alive through us, because we become a testimony of the living word. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 1, verse 14, and it reads, "The Word became flesh and lived among us. We saw his glory, such glory as of one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Yah himself was pleased to live fully in his Son. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And this is coming from the Aramaic Bible in plain English. This it read really interesting or differently. And it reads, "For all the fullness of the deity dwells in him bodily, and you also are completed in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers." Yahushua was a bad man, and he dwelt among us. His Father gave him power, great authority. And we've read before that he gave us that same authority. But do we believe in him? And if we believe in him, we have to get rid of that clutter that's in our minds. We have to get rid of ourselves. Rid of that old male. Get rid of those old clothes, those old shoes, those old things that you have within you. And I'm just using that as examples, because I know everybody can go in their closet and find some pair of shoes that they ain't worn in years. Find a shirt that they ain't worn in years. If they tried to put it on, they might be too small, because they didn't have it so long. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 5 through 8. And it reads, "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Yahushua is the Son of Yah? This is he who came by water and blood, Yahushua. Not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. It is the Spirit who tests the water and the blood. And the three agree as one." And from here, we're going to go to John chapter 2, verse 7. 10, and it reads, and this is actually just dealing with the, as we say, the first miracle that was shown by Yahushua. And it reads, "Yahushua said to them, fill the water cask with water, and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, draw out now to the master of ceremonies. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that had become wine and did not know from where it was, but the servants knew, for they had filled them up with water, the master of ceremony called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man first calls for the good wine, and when they are drunk, then that which is inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now." And I just went there because we're talking about turning water, the water and the blood. As we know, when we do the Passover or the Seder, that covenant that he made with us, that wine, he said that this wine represents my blood. And see, and we take in that wine because we're taking in his blood, symbolic of his blood that was shed for us. individually, collectively. But we have to understand the significance of that water and that blood and how the two represent one part. And it's life. And that life comes from Yahushua. He gave us life. We screwed it up. And he gave us an opportunity to get life again. See, because at one time we dwelt with him and we communed with him spiritually. But now he's given us an opportunity to commune with him spiritually and physically, to be aware of him and his presence. But in order for us to be aware of him and his presence, we have to get rid of those strongholds. We have to put work to clean it up. Years ago, I used to look at the mind as like a garden. You know, sometimes you have to till that garden. See, we have to break up some of those thoughts that we have that's in our mind. So, like we read earlier, those fixed things that we have put in our minds and saying, this is me. This is me. I can't get rid of that. That is me. That's just me. But if you continue to say, that's just me, me gonna cause you not to make it. Because me supposed to turn into Yahushua. You know, one should be able to see that goodness in you. And not that conditional goodness, but that unconditional goodness. See, because when we look at Yahushua, he was unconditionally showing love to everybody. Because humanity is what he created in Adam. And Adam goofed up. But he made a way that Adam's offsprings can make it to where Adam used to be. See, because we don't know, only thing we can do is read about it. Our rabbi used to say, use your imagination. And that's what we have to do, use our imagination of the relationship that word had with Adam. That's what we have to imagine. But we read in the scriptures and we read in the scriptures, we deal with the prophets, we deal with the word, and we can have that relationship with Yahushua. We can have that. But we got to put in work. It just don't drop, you know, it just don't pop up in our head. It just don't pop up there. You know, we just don't wake up in the morning and just do. Like we read earlier, you know, with their lips they say they believe, but their actions and deeds show differently. So we have to walk the walk and talk the talk. And understand and count the cost, because we already know what the what is. As they, you know, he told us what the what is. They're going to hate us because they hated me. You read earlier, they hated him. His own people hated him. And they wanted him killed. And they murdered him without a cause. Let's not murder him now. Let's not murder him now. Let us be those ones that are standing up for him. And we have to ingrain ourselves in understanding who he is and the different things that he has done throughout the word. As he said in his word, learn of me, learn of me. See, the more we learn about him, the more we understand different connotations of how, where he is in the word, the stronger we will be in him. The more we are getting rid of ourselves, the more we are getting rid of the flesh or that fleshly nature. So family, got something from these scriptures, and go over them and see what the Father bring out in your mind. See what Yahushua brings out in your mind in regards to these scriptures. In regards to that water, in regards to that blood. Because we read first, like I said, that he made with a nation. And that covenant that he made with you individually. Because he came to save you. All that am I hearing my voice, and all that may listen to this down the line, Yahushua came to save you. He wrote these words down for you so that you can be like him and be a good example to all those in whom you come in contact with. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank thee for Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, and soon coming King. And we ask of thee, Yahushua, to protect us as we about to lay down for our slumber for this evening. We ask of thee to protect us in our sleep, in our unconscious mind. Stand on your word in our unconscious mind, as well as in our conscious mind. Understanding that you are the life force that keeps us alive. Through thy spirit, through thy word, strengthen us in you, Yahushua. Strengthen us. We thank thee, Yahushua, for your loving kindness and for your peace that you lay upon us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Yisrael with peace. Shalom, Israel, and listening audience. May you all have a peaceful slumber and enjoy your Sabbath rest. Shalom.
We were the brave.